Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that your word is a light and a lamp. Your word is fire and it's a hammer. It's an anchor for our very soul, your word says. You are the word made flesh, and it's you that we follow. It's you that we worship. God, we hang on your every word. We got no place else to go because you have the words of life. Please baptize us in your word, that we would get wisdom. I think about Vero, that would be something in tonight's word that would lead and guide her steps, God. I think about Brianna, that the decisions that she has to make, that something in tonight's word would be a confirmation for her. Oh, Lord Jesus, whoever is hanging and waiting on a word, may it be your spirit that gives the truth tonight. Thank you, God. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Psalm 115, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. Before we go to there, let's stop at that one place. Not unto us, not unto us, but to your name give glory. That word for glory in the Hebrew translated means shine. It means credit. It means props. I want you to think about something. If you are predisposed to self-pity, if you are predisposed to depression, if you are hardwired to have that kind of pig pen mentality, the oh, woe is me, so many are. You're not alone. The first thing the enemy wants you to think is that you're alone, but you're not. There's a really famous saying, look on the bright side. It's not in the Bible, but it certainly is depicted. The reason I belabor that point, what would you give God credit for? What would you give him glory for? If you're miserable, hey, thanks so much, God, for me breaking up with my girlfriend. Appreciate that, knowing that you could have stepped in and done something. Hey, God, thank you so much for that bout of coronavirus. I really appreciate that. Thanks so much, God. I want to tell you thank you. Can I add to the list? Thank you so much for the loss of a child, the loss of a job, the loss of, you know, anything like that. Or are you one of those who can look on the bright side? Are you a cup is half full type of person? Just a question you got to ask yourself. Because here the writer of this psalm, let's assume for a second it's David, was in a cave, being chased by the king of the land, dogs baying in the wild, and they weren't trying to find him to arrest him. They weren't trying to find him to give him his lost mail. They were trying to find him to kill him. And here he says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory. There's a very famous line from the movie Scarface. Fooled you, right? He said, Tony, every day above ground's a good day. Do you believe that yet? I remember in the middle of coronavirus, about 10 or 12 days into it, wondering when I was not going to have fever, wondering when I would stop hallucinating at night, wondering if you had a bad case like myself, like Dean. I don't know how bad your case was, but it was really bad because you couldn't wait for the sun to rise up so you could get up and take a nap. because the darkness just brought just the worst type of sleep. Did you have those crazy dreams too, Dino? Oh, it was like the most, I don't remember, like at the time I remembered them and so vividly, but I kind of let them pass. It was the craziest dreams about stupid stuff that just, you couldn't sleep. And then the only time you could sleep is when you got up in the morning. And my daughters were in the middle of watching, for some strange reason, I turned them on to, here's the story, the Brady Bunch. I'll never watch the Brady Bunch ever. It's like eating a meal and then getting sick, even though the meal had nothing to do with you being sick. All you remember is that you got sick after you ate that. Like one time I took my family to one of those real fancy movie theaters in Boca where you sit down and they bring your food. Well, I got like the flu while I was in there, so while I was leaving, I had the chills. I was like, I'm never going back to those places again. It didn't do anything. It just reminds me that I got so sick, and it just came upon me. And I was, yeah, I'll never watch Brady Bunch again. All I can think of coronavirus is Brady Bunch. Oh, my goodness, that show is so bad. But about 12 days into it, I started going for walks. And started getting mad. I was mad that I allowed myself to get so low. I was mad that I allowed myself to think God had forsaken me. I was mad at myself for thinking so ill of God. We have such a weird mentality when it comes to you think about the people right now that are in China that are meeting underground. They can't have a Bible. They have to have pages or separate books. You think about the people right now that are in Iraq or Indonesia where Christianity is illegal. Think about people that are in jail because of their faith. And I got coronavirus and God was mad at me. Why? But I preach, but I'm a Christian. And I just started giving God glory. What a remedy. If you're a new believer here, if you're less than 3 years old, less than 5 years old in the Lord, you're going to find yourself in this place that Christians call the wilderness. The wilderness is a strange place because when you first get saved and that burden is off your shoulders and you feel so strong and so sure that God is like, loves you, man. He got you a job. Maybe he brought you a man. Every time you read the Bible, it's like moving. You're like, oh, I can't believe that God. God loves me. When you get to this place from Matthew chapter 4, when the Lord was in the wilderness, and the feeling of God is gone. It's gone. God has literally called you out. Come on, come on, come on, we're going to go someplace. Come on, come on. And then all of a sudden, he vanishes. And the feeling of God, it's not there. You're dry. Your mouth is like, as a deer pants for water brook, so my soul longs after you. You read the Bible, you pray, it feels like the prayers are hitting the ceiling. Welcome to the wilderness, new believer. In the gym, we call it the sticking point. Just can't get any bigger. You can't improve your game anymore. In jiu-jitsu, it's like, man, the blue belts are kicking my butt. What's going on? It's the wilderness. God is saying it's time to grow up. Because the Bible says you do not walk by feelings, but by faith. I've given you enough feelings. How much more do you need? Can you walk out on this water with me with just your belief? Do you believe in the provision, the protection? Do you believe that I'm with you wherever you go, even if you don't feel me? That's one of the things I have a problem with these churches that have the gigantic bands and the light shows. And it's like, man, be careful, because the feeling don't last. You're going to find yourself in the wilderness, and then you're going to be in this church, and you're going to see all these people with their hands raised, they're singing songs, and yeah, man, how come this guy gets it and I don't? You know what? That 12th day in, I literally started beating my chest and telling God, I'm ready to die or I'm ready to live. I started telling God to live as Christ and to die as gain. In AA and NA circles, they have a saying, it's called the moment of clarity. That point in time that you realize, holy crap, I've made a gigantic mess in my life, and guess what? It's me. I've been blaming my mother this whole time. You guys have heard the story about me. I moved to New York when I was 22 years old. I jumped in my 73 Monte Carlo, got arrested in Woodbine, Georgia, spent the night in jail there for driving with a suspended license, got out the next day, borrowed a couple hundred bucks from my aunt, who never heard from me, of course. And I drove the rest of the way. I got to Florida. My cousin let me sleep on her couch. I got up the next morning, went into the bathroom to wash my hands and face. I looked in the mirror and I said, hey, didn't I leave you in New York? Moment of clarity. Now, there's this discussion on what you can do about that, but let me tell you what the best thing to do is. Just start giving God glory. You know what, God? Thanks that I got up this morning. Thank you, God, that I ain't missed a meal. You know what? Sometimes it was ramen noodles, and that's okay, because there's people that ain't got ramen noodles. Thank you, God, for these shoes on my feet, these clothes on my back. Thank you, God, for this woman by my side. Thank you, God. And listen, I don't know where you've been or what you've done, but for me, at one point, it was just thank you, God, for this prison cell. It's a great cell. Look at these other guys. They have to live in we had what's called the unit. 150 guys, and man, I got a prison cell. I only got to share with three other animals. This is great. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, praise, credit, props. Because of your mercy, because of your truth, why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Listen, when you can't see God, when you can't feel God, when you're in the middle of the wilderness, the thought of what other people have, it's inevitable. Man, I know this. Look, this is a little controversial, but why steer away from it? There's a community out there waiting for you. If you're alone and you have nobody and you really want to get married, but there's nobody for you, yet, there's a community of people who are waiting for you. And if you think it doesn't exist, and I'm going to make this clear in a second, as soon as I get some inspiration from the Lord. When I was 14, 15 years old, I didn't have a girl in my life. I was very awkward, very shy. My mother's friends were extremely aggressive with me sexually, and it made me really, really apprehensive to be around. But I found a community willing to invite me in. I was working at a pet store at 15 years old, in Lower Manhattan, in Greenwich Village. And oh, the community of homosexuals welcomed me with open arms. They wanted me to come and hang out. They had a party. Oh, you want herb? What do you want? What kind of drugs do you want? What are you into? Oh, they have snakes. Oh, I was really into my reptiles. Oh, we've got collections. They were willing. And now, thank God that I was there with an older brother type who said, yeah, we don't hang out with those guys. They do their thing. You're a little young to make those decisions. He wasn't a believer. He wasn't anti-gay or anything like that. Far from it. He might have been bisexual. I don't know. But he was into protecting a child. And he saw and he knew at 15 years old, not being experienced, I was a child. If you're a sister here, there's a community waiting for you. It might be the community of dancers. No, you should come. You can make money. You get a job. $10 an hour? Psh, listen to me. I made $400 last night. And I need $400. You should come with us. There's a community waiting for you. And they're waiting to take advantage of you. And they don't come with teeth. They don't come with claws. They come with smiles. My older brother suffered from drug addiction his entire life, since he's 13 years old. And his whole life, the community of Grateful Deadheads just couldn't wait to have him back, in and out of programs. And every time he got out, hey, bro, make sure they didn't steal our food. Dead are playing, bro. Dead are on tour. 6 shows at the Garden, man. We're camping out. There my brother go again. And then when herb turned to snorting coke, and then snorting heroin, and then smoking crack, and then my mother would come home and she'd call me on the phone. By this time I was living in Florida. Oh, we got robbed. Like, Mom, you didn't get robbed. Your crackhead son broke into your house and stole your stuff again, Mom. No, he says it wasn't him. I'm on the phone. I'm gonna come back and kill you. I'm gonna smash your head with a bat. You're a junkie. I don't wanna get straight. The community was waiting for him. You'll even find this community for you guys that quit smoking. You ever quit smoking around your friends? Man, I just want to see you smoke a cigarette. Their idols are idols of silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they don't speak. Eyes they have, but they don't see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them, so is everyone who trusts in them. It's the craziest thing. For the most part, all these people in these communities, they look alike. When I was growing up, we had these kids called goth kids. And they all looked alike. They all wore long trench coats, even in the summer. They wore black combat boots. The craziest thing. I always freaked out. And please, if you don't know me here, then I apologize in advance for this. But I come from New York. I come from the city. I am the least prejudiced person when it comes to color, when it comes to sexual preference. I could care less. I hate you just as much as anybody else. But why do all lesbians that are playing the man role all dress and act alike? Why do they cut their hair real short? Why do they wear gym shorts? Why do they wear 4 layers of t-shirts? You know why? Because they're idols. And so is everyone who makes them. They're just like them. You become just like what you idolize. That's why the Lord Jesus is so against, in the Bible, in Exodus chapter 20, make no graven image of God. Make no mistake about it. Do not ever think that the Lord Jesus or God the Father or the Spirit is an essence, a movement, a big girly-eyed guy from the cover of Vogue magazine or whatever mag. Don't think that. He is not any picture that, as soon as you picture him, one of the reasons that I'm very apprehensive and mostly stay away from movies that has any vision of God in it is because I don't want God to be a picture of anything like that. The last movie I saw that had a picture of was Passion of the Christ. And even I was convicted watching that movie. It's like, do not make a graven image of God, period. But yet these people, they all look alike. They all act alike. Listen, it could happen even in the church. You guys, I told the story just the other day. Church that I grew up in, you walked around that church, and I'm going to tell you, people started dressing and acting, and I mean, glasses, haircut, clothes, white t-shirt underneath, buttoned up to here. It was crazy. Now, that's not always a bad thing, but it's definitely not a good thing. You follow what I'm saying? Here, continuing. He says, again, let's read verse 6. They have ears, but they do not hear. Guess what, guys? God hears. Their idols don't hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them, so is everyone who trusts in them. The other day, we have this friend. She actually comes to church sometimes. Her daughter just had a baby, and they brought the baby, and I was looking at the baby the other day, and the baby had a red bracelet on her, on his hand. I said, what's that? Oh, that keeps evil spirits away. She's like, is that a black thing or something? What are you talking about? I've never heard of a red thread around the... She said, you know what else keeps evil spirits away? She was like, what? I was like, coming to church. Oh, we've been real busy. Not too busy to tie a red... Oh, Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Oh, house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase, more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. Even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. See the little rap he does in between verse 9 and 15? He says to them, listen, trust the Lord. You who know the Lord, trust the Lord. Yeah, but I'm going through this terrible thing. You see, I'm given to a depression. Trust the Lord. You who fear the Lord, trust. Yeah, but I'm going through a really tough time in that. Trust the Lord. Financially, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. If you're at the beginning of your walk and it seems like things are just going downhill, trust the Lord. Every valley is a valley. And the mountaintop is where he wants you to be. And he will take you there. He will rescue there. He promises us never to leave us nor forsake us. He promises. Psalm 116. It almost seems like a bookend, a piggyback. I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my supplication. Because he's inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. I dig that. I love the Lord because, you know, the first time I heard anybody teach this was a guy named Mike McIntosh. Mike McIntosh visited Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale. He was a weird dude. His testimony, if you look up, if you go online, Mike McIntosh, Calvary Chapel testimony, he was weird, man. How many people know Mike McIntosh? Good, okay. So he gets really stoned on hallucinogens, and he thought that he shot himself in the head. So he was walking around thinking that he blew half of his head off. And the story of how he came to the Lord is even more bizarre. And the craziest thing is, like, as a pastor, I kind of want you guys to think I'm smart. I have glasses, I have my Bible, I know my Bible, I have a good memory, I'm educated, I use big words sometimes, right? All that's a lie. I'm not educated. I actually, the only Bible college I ever went to was when I was in prison. I barely graduated high school. Mike McIntosh wears that right here. He walks in and he kind of walks like this, and he's kind of a weirdo. Hi, guys. Like, I hope he's introducing the pastor because that's a weird-looking dude. Hey, let's read Psalm 115 together. And then he goes, you know, I love the Lord. I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my supplication. And he teaches and he acts so simple. So, man, it's right there. And then you hear the guy's got like a church of thousands of people. It's a busy, serving, thriving, growing by the Lord's doing church. You're like, that guy? And that's how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to look at me up here and go, well, if God could use him, then I'm soaring the heights. And I think I lose that sometimes. I come up here and want to be so sharp. And, hey, man, let me get me. Man, you know, one time I had this rap, and some of you guys have been around this church long enough. I had this rap that I was doing with God every morning. It was like, I called him my God of nothing. Because for a couple months, every morning I wake up and I go, God, I'm nothing without you. I have nothing without you. I've done nothing without you. And I went through all of that. I called him for a couple months. I called him my God of nothing. And everything, I think nothing without you. I touch nothing without you. I wanted God to know so much from my heart that every morning I woke up, God, you're my God of nothing. Because I'm nothing without you. Nothing. Oh, no, you've got a big business. My business is nothing without you. Oh, man, look at your smoking hot wife. Only with me because of God. Believe it. Yeah, but you look at your kids. My kids, let me tell you something. Nothing without God. Nothing. Everything. I just went through this in my head. And what a way to just surrender. What a way to say, not unto us, but you be the glory. You know why I love the Lord? Because he has heard my voice. How many of you guys have had like the worst freaking year ever? 2020 just sucked, right? I had a really hard year. I really did. Between the coronavirus, between marriage things, you know what I mean? My wife's injuries is like months now. She can't. I could go through the list of things, you know? But I'm gonna look back at this last week of the year and I'm like, you know what, God? You've been pretty good to me. Pretty good. It could be a whole lot worse. I've had valleys. But here I am. You with me? I love the Lord. Because he's heard my voice and my supplication. Because he's inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me. The pains of hell, Sheol, laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Steve, how many times did we talk to each other in the 2 weeks we were both sick and say, you praying for me? You promise? I promise I'm praying. I'm praying for you. Me and Steve were like bookends on this corona thing. Life sucked for both of us for about the same time. And I felt terrible because I'm pretty sure he got it from me. Like, I'm never hugging anybody again. That was a lie. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God's merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low. He saved me. The Lord preserves the simple. You know, there's a great Bible verse in 1 Corinthians. It says that he uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. If you've not woken up in the morning and had to pinch yourself to look at what God has done with your life, do you know how many times I've looked in the mirror and said, you are such a filthy piece of garbage. Why does God put up with you? If you knew who it was that was standing here preaching the word of God to you, believe me when I tell you, the church would be even smaller than it is. Because it ain't going to take a lot. Google my name. Been arrested 30 times. Done jail time, prison time. The first 20 years of my life, I was an animal. Literally a walking animal. And yet God never at any point in time disqualified me. No, that's it. At my worst, God was like, come on. I've told this story just a couple weeks ago. I used to go to Catholic Church on Christmas Eve with all my boys, and I'd look up at that guy on that cross, and I'd be like, I know you got a better plan for my life, but I guess I ruined it. I guess I'm stuck. Is this where it is? There's no redemption for me. And God was like, oh, you have no idea. Oh, the plan I got for you, boy. I remember being so hopeless, so stuck in a pit, just, and the enemy just wanted me down. He wanted me down. He was like, no, you stay back down here. Do worse things. Well, what's the difference? I'm already down here. God can't rescue you. God doesn't love you. God loved you, then why? If God didn't love you, then why? If God loved you, then why did he allow? That's the enemy, bro. Over and over again. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Not to us, but unto him be the glory, right? For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. See, if you are predisposed, if you are hardwired for depression, for anxiety, for self-pity, so is this guy. So is this guy. And he wanted to write in chapters in the Bible. Figure that out. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I know. I will take up the cup of salvation and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now, in the presence of all his people. He did not save you to be saved. Whoa. What does that mean? He did not save you so you can get saved. What did he save me for? So you can help others get saved. So you get busy about the business of doing God's work. And you who got saved and all you do is go to church, you're missing out on the best part of this thing. You know what's great? I got a little crazy when it comes to tools. I have a problem with tools. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a toolaholic. You too, huh? If it's black and yellow and it says DeWalt, the first thing I'm doing is scanning my house for some place to use that tool on. I did not buy the tool because I needed it. I found a place to use it. But I'm going to confess, there are some tools that have been sitting. I found a right angle drill. It was the greatest drill in the world. It's shaped like this and then just goes like that. It's like for getting to the top of things. No, DeWalt, shut up. Although, I just bought a Milwaukee Sawzall. Milwaukee makes a great Sawzall. Milwaukee Sawzalls. You in Milwaukee too? Anybody else? Who else? Anybody Ryobi? Anybody Ryobi? Black and Decker? David, right? David says to me, it's like we're on a street corner. Psst. You know what an X mark is? What's an X mark? It's a riding lawnmower.
I know what it is.
X mark? Yeah. Zero turning radius. Go like this. Where do I get one? I know a guy. Sent me the number to a guy in Boca. He says, "Son, sent me a couple ads. Get it cheaper. Here's what it is." I got me an X mark. Not only did I get me an X mark, Austin was like, "And you can't use all that yourself, right? Man, can I buy into that thing? How much are we talking?" He knocked the belt off it the other day. I wanted to shoot him in the head. He told you? I wanted to kill him. My son-in-law, I love my son-in-law like I love my own heart and my chest, but don't ever lend him anything. He will break it and tell you why it wasn't his fault. He's the worst. Why did I buy a $5,000 riding lawnmower with him?
Gotta buy him tools so he can fix it.
And it's never his fault, never. I bought a new chainsaw the other day, like 2 weeks ago. And the kid, me and Eric, the kid that works with me, we're cutting down. We only cut down a few branches to try it out. It was something off of Amazon, believe it or not, bro. I never even heard of the brand before. It was like an 18-inch, huh? No, Husky, I've heard of Husqvarna. What, no, I wish it was a steel. I don't even, I'm telling you, it was a really off-brand, but it worked great. And on Monday, I go to work, and I say, "Hey, Eric, where's my new chainsaw?" He looked at me, he went, "Oh, boss." "Boss, I had nothing to do with it." I said, "Say anything but Austin." "Boss, I'm sorry. Did he break my brand new chainsaw?" "Austin, did you break?" I called my phone immediately. "Did you break my brand new chainsaw?" "It was broken when I got it." "Ryan, I told you don't buy stuff off Amazon." So here's the point of this. There was a point. There's a point. You don't want to be a tool that's not being used. And if all you did was get saved so you can be a decoration in the tool shed, you're missing the best part. Let me tell you the best part. Best part. My wife has this gift. She can see things that are finished. She finds a desk online. She says, honey, I want you to get this desk. I'm like, that desk's like a piece of garbage. It's real wood, though. Oh, good, so it's a heavy piece of garbage. She says to me, and she starts every sentence like this. She goes, here's what's going to happen, just so you know. You're going to get this thing. I'm going to fix it up. You're going to yell and scream at me the whole time, and then you're going to brag about to everybody later on what a great job I did. Why don't we cut one of those sections out? That's my granddaughter, amen. So she gets this desk, she sands it down, she gets this paint and this gloss, and on top, her hands get all dirty, but you gotta see, she's like a mad scientist, and she gets a white paint and puts it here. But you know how long that talent was in her and I didn't give her the space to do that? Do you have any idea? I almost ruined that. Any of y'all come to my house, any of y'all come to my business, and you look and you see, oh my goodness, this looks like a Swiss chalet from Colorado. Yeah, that was her. Drove us absolutely bananas. Me and my son wanted to cut each other's head off at all different times. Just, I pull that down. I don't like the way that looks. We're not pulling it down. Just pull it. My wife thinks if you make a noise, it means something's happening. Just get up there, pull it down. No, it's not, pull it down. That's nailed in. We're not pulling it down. Don't be a worthless tool. Let me read this to you again. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation, call upon the name of the Lord, and I will pay my vows to the Lord. Now, in the presence of all his people. Verse 15 is one of my most used verses in the entire Bible. Every single funeral I've ever done, I use this. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You guys feel that? When my brother died, I got a call from my mother. Hadn't heard from him in months, and I always knew that was a bad sign. She called me up. I'll never forget. She, Ryan! I'll never get a voice. Ryan! Adam's dead. They found him this morning. I was like, Adam who? Adam who? He's like, don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. Your brother. Tears, the crying, the mad, the anger. It's like, argh! Waste. If you've never seen the movie A Bronx Tale, there's nothing worse than wasted talent. Oh, the kid was talented. Oof. Big, strong, hit a ball a country mile, throw a ball. He used to run from the catcher's mound to the catcher's plate to the pitcher's mound and throw the ball over the center field fence 400 feet. It just, super talented, but it's just pot. There's nothing wrong with pot. They're going to legalize it soon. The boy is killing you. Can't you see it's killing you? I rebelled against my parents and my family by not doing drugs. That was my rebellion. My parents were into all kinds of coke and hallucinogens. You know what? You guys are crazy. I ain't doing that crap. Have fun. Watch it kill them all. They're all dead because of it too. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Wait a second. My brother accepted Christ as a savior. So this is a good thing. Do you believe in heaven? Or how much do you believe in heaven? If you believe in it enough, like it is, then guess what? He ain't dead. He just moved. and he's waiting for you. As a matter of fact, when he died, God was happy about it. It's precious in his sight. You got to wrap your head around that a little bit. But at the core, it's comfort. Even if at the surface it sounds macabre. Yeah. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, if you're new to church and you don't understand saints, if you don't know this, anybody who accepts Christ as their Savior is his saint. If you're from a Catholic background and you had like the little statues on your dashboard, those aren't saints. You're a saint. You who accepted Christ as your Savior, according to the Bible. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I don't know what you struggle with. What's your biggest vice? What's got a hold on your heart? What's strangling your spirit? But God wants to loosen it for you. He not only doesn't want to loosen it for you, he wants you to say thank you when he does. And then he wants you to call upon his name and be used by him. That's pretty stinking cool. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I highly recommend reading Psalm 15 and 16, 115, 116 later on. Just reading it over and over again and see how they so fit together. Not unto us, but to you be the glory. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I will take up the cup of salvation. Oh, man, just such beautiful, beautiful verbiage in there. Poetic. Comforting. And it's kind of like a meal you get to take home because there's so much in there you can share with somebody else. You know what I mean? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Your word truly is life. And I do pray that there's something that was said tonight that was prophetic for somebody in here, that your word went forward and confirmed something that's been done in somebody's heart in here from head down. Maybe one of my stupid stories or dumb analogies, God, whatever it is, God, may it be you who connects the dots. Thank you so much, God, for being with us tonight. We love you. Use us. And God, if I haven't said it lately enough, thanks for being my God of nothing. Continue to use me in any way you want. And if you want me to preach at the beach, I will, God. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen.